You're listening to episode 315 of Women Worldwide. Are you marketing your brand in real time? How much are you live streaming to stand out in a noisy media landscape? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you for tuning in, for showing up, and for being here. We appreciate all of the sharing that you're doing, sharing the stories of our guests, and also letting us know how you're doing and how you're feeling. And we appreciate that you're keeping the conversation going. Well, it's another week, a new guest, and plenty of advice to share with you. So let's get right to it. Today's topic is getting out there in real time. So I ask you, how much are you going live? Now, maybe you're participating in live streams as an attendee, maybe you're a guest in a live stream, or are you taking your own content live? Well, that is the perfect segue to my guest today. Joining me on the show is Christoph Trapp. Christoph is a content marketing strategist. He is somebody who has worked in a mix of industries and businesses, from startups to more established companies. And he helps organizations to take their marketing communications from happening to performing. Now, Christoph has been named on a lot of lists. So he is top 14 in content marketers. He's among the top 40 in B2B marketers, the top 24 in digital marketers. And get this, and this one I love because I know how hard it is. He's among the top 5% of podcasters. And Christoph just published a book in March of 2021 called Going Live, and we're going to dive into that today. So Christoph, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you too. Well, I just shared with everybody that you're top this, top that, B2B marketer, content marketer. How did you, just share a little bit how you got on the path to this authentic business storytelling?
Yeah, it's always a good question. So I started as a journalist. Actually, I was going to go into sports writing and never worked a day in my life as a sports writer, but then went into public safety reporting, investigative reporting. I learned the art of journalistic storytelling, really. At some point, I made the switch over to marketing and communications. At some point, we started calling it content marketing. And as you probably are well aware, it's really, really hard for companies to stay in front of people today because people just get stuff thrown at them nonstop. The options are unbelievable, right? Where you can consume content, what you spend your time on, where you hang out, et cetera, et cetera. So I basically took the journalistic storytelling to the business world because I think businesses can tell stories better. Most business stories are horrible. They're full of marketing gobbledygook, you know, they're just like, we're the best, we're whatever. It's just, you know, we can do better. And I think you can do that with some of those strategies, including going live, including doing a podcast, including doing other things. So that's kind of how it started. And I keep evolving with, you know, what's the current thing to try? What's the current thing to do? And go from there.
Well, that is awesome. And you're absolutely right. Because so many businesses can do it better. People rally around stories and good content, and you have the ability to build relationships. So taking your stories to a more human level clearly brings us to your book, Going Live. Congratulations on publishing your fourth book. That's quite a feat. Maybe you could share just a little bit of what you want readers to get out of this book and the main takeaways.
Well, so really the trend I'm seeing is people chase specific things that are currently trending. So like, I don't know, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, you know, it was blogging. So everybody started a blog and many of them were just horrible, you know, because they didn't do it very well, or they just shared the same old marketing gobbledygook. You know, there you go. That's buzzword bingo for you. But, you know, that happens. And then everybody is now starting to do podcasts. And that's a good idea. But getting podcast downloads actually takes a lot of work. I'll give you an example. You do a B2B podcast, and if you have 20 downloads on your first few episodes, you should be very happy. Really? And that does not feel very good if you just spend all this time getting your CEO on the show, having somebody edit, hiring a voiceover actor to do the intro and all this stuff. So, you know, that's kind of how I thought about you. You do more live streams and you live stream your podcast recording. So my point is, I'm always looking for ways to get the most out of my content. And I'm not married to blogging. I'm not married to writing. I'm not married to live streaming. But that's kind of what I wanted people to kind of understand. How do you do that? And what are the common missteps and mistakes? And I've probably made them all. You know, they're all.
What do you learn, frankly? Right? We have to make mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with live streaming, is it the fact that because it's real time, we can all let our guards down and be more human? And how hard is that for professionals and business to do?
Well, I don't think you necessarily want to let your guard down, but you do want to appear more human than you look behind a piece of article that's been through 12 rounds of edits, right? So, but you don't necessarily want to say everything. You know, if you have a potty mouth, I probably wouldn't bring that to most live streams, quite frankly. But it does make you appear more human, because here's the thing. If I'm a jerk, it's really hard for me, and I think I'm not, but if I was a jerk, it's really hard for me to fake that, you know, for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever. And I think that is the power. It brings home who are the people. You know, it's easier to listen to than just read some formal brochure or website or whatever. And the other thing is, it gets people's buy-in more, in my opinion. Just because, you know, they're active participants, you know, they see how it feels, they see what's going on.
So when you say the buy-in, is that if you are an organization and you want to live stream, you're getting your own people who are participating and they feel really good about that. There's something about bringing your own into it where they can invest, not just in the live stream, but they're investing in the brand itself.
That's exactly right. So when they come on the show, you know, they see how it feels. They see all these different things. And I always joke, you know, the live stream I do at Vox Pop Me, it like improves every time we do one, you know, and the CEO was on the first one. We didn't even have an intro. Like, you know what I mean? Like right. We just went live. And now we have like, we play video clips on the live, you know? So
yes.
like if there's a related speech or a related video, we play that, you know, and then we have lower thirds. So my point is that you can see how things continuously evolve and it makes your brand look good. And I still love this example. Back in my day at United Way, we used augmented reality. This is like 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And 15 people used the augmented reality. But it was still a success because everybody wrote about it. The TV station had a story about it. And, you know, it got attention. So it's always like there's always multiple goals for everything you're doing. So just, you know, if you're the first brand in your industry that's going live, I would think it's a differentiator because nobody else is doing it.
Exactly. So it does. It makes you stand out. So what are some of the maybe misconceptions or mistakes around going live that you've experienced that you want others who are watching and listening just to know about?
Well, the biggest thing is, I think that people think they need to be perfect. And I don't think there's such a thing as being perfect. You just kind of have to remember it's a conversation, you know? And how do you overcome some of those fears to be perfect? Now, you know, I do know for a fact that people get dressed up more, many of them, when they come on my live streams. And I've actually, you know, especially when female guests come on, I'm very cognizant to not like move it last minute, or do you know what I mean? Or if something like I know, because a lot of them have come on and they say, oh, this is like the only reason I got dressed today, or the only reason, makeup, you know, or whatever. So I realized that now. I probably wouldn't have realized that maybe the first couple episodes. But you don't have to overdo it necessarily. I think people connect with the human, and you know, just share your story and be real and be the expert that you are. And I think that's there's always a little bit of self-doubt, I think, in everybody when they do anything. Even, you know, I'm like, this is crazy. Everybody's talking to me about live streaming. Now I got a book on live streaming. It was like number two on the new release list, you know.
Excellent. And
but I don't feel like I'm the expert, you know. I've done it for like 6 years and multi-streamed the last year or so. But there always will be a self-doubt, especially when you have to talk about it publicly. So you might as well get used to it and then just walk with it, you know, share it, you know, have a conversation and share what you can and move forward from there.
Can you share why perhaps a company or the C-suite might be hesitant to have a live streaming show?
Oh, why do we need that? Why do we need it? We're doing just fine. And right. You know what? How many companies have said that and then something happened. Somebody disrupted their marketplace. And, you know, my opinion is that you have to hit on all channels. And the other thing is it's long term, right? When you do a live stream and when you do. So here's kind of the model I use: live stream to podcast, to write an article for the website, to do email campaigns, to do paid campaigns. But you know what happens when you do paid campaigns? They stop when you stop spending money. You know what happens to my content campaigns when I stop doing content campaigns? They're still out there.
They're going and going.
They're everywhere, right? The podcasts are now indexed by Google. They're now indexed by Apple. So all those things are totally evolving. Your articles, same thing. Live streams, maybe not yet, but they will be at some point. I mean, just a matter of time when that happens. You know, if you're looking for differentiators, I don't know many companies that don't need them, then, you know, it's one way that you can consider trying to get in front of people.
Do you think that they're also hesitant about the resources involved or having their people tied up in something if they don't understand the actual value of the content and how it lives? It has a really long shelf life.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, if I take all the debates I've had over resource allocation to what would have just taken to do, you know, the thing, you could have just done it. So sometimes, you know, it's kind of crazy, but sometimes we overthink it. But we have to think about how do we make the most out of our time. So I'll give you an example. If you already have a content marketing program, how do your content people get the content? They talk to somebody. Like, seriously, like if you have a content program and people are not talking to experts in your company, where are they getting the content? They're making it up. You can't win that way, right? So they have to talk to the experts. So they're already doing half of it. So now just take that conversation and live stream it. I've been in so many of these chats and there's very little that's being said that's off the record. And if you have to say anything that can't be published, just say it when you're off air afterwards. So just, you know, start there, find a way to make the most use of everybody's time and be efficient. And I think this is just one way to actually be more efficient. Once you get into it, it's getting easier and easier. Now, I won't lie. I'm an introvert. I know, hard to believe, but I am. And what that means, I don't get energy, right, from being on air all the time. I get energy from sitting on the couch. So by myself, with no kids running around my head. So, you know, it's just something to keep in mind. Like,
you don't have to be an extrovert. You don't have to be somebody who wants to be in the spotlight to do the live streaming.
Mm-hmm. Right. But what I was going to say, I think, is you have to remember that it does take time and there is a certain stress level. So, for example, you know, if we were live, there would be another stress level, mostly on you because you're pushing all the buttons. And I'm just doing the same thing. But there is another level of what you're doing, what you have to focus on. So it's just something to keep in mind. And even like, you know, I mean, so we're recording, I think I didn't ask you, but I think we're only going to use the audio, but I didn't ask. And my light was already on, my camera was already there. So I'm looking at the camera. If I had asked and you would have said only audio, or if we would have recorded without video on, I would have probably like leaned back more. It's a little bit more relaxing. So just be aware that there's different stress levels and just deal with them. Figure out how to manage them, like anything in life.
Absolutely. And when it comes to the platforms and new stresses over managing comments in real time and creating almost a production, do you have a favorite platform? I know when I stream, I don't do it on a regular basis, but when I do, I use StreamYard. And it's kind of cool because you can brand it and do some fun things and put in video clips. What do you use?
So my workflow is I use Switcher Studio on my iPad, and that's really my production software. You can stream to one channel with that, and then I push that to Restream, and then Restream distributes it to all the different channels. So there's many, many options how you can do it. There's OBS, there's StreamYard. StreamYard, just from my perception, is probably one of the more commonly used ones for podcasters, because it seems like that's the one I usually am on when I'm a guest. For the most part. But, you know, I think OBS is free. I was just looking into testing it, so I don't know for sure yet, but it looks like it is. But I don't know how it compares. So there's plenty of options. But again, if I haven't said it yet, I'll say it now. Don't let that stop you from starting, right? Don't just start. Like, go on one channel. And then, you know,
you could go Facebook Live. Right? You could do, if you're approved for LinkedIn, you could do LinkedIn Live. So that's a really good point. Maybe share with us some aha moments in your experience, whether it's around content, live casting, something that you learned that really stuck with you that you want to share with everybody.
Yeah, the aha moments are constant. There's always something new you learn, something new you figure out. And, you know, I think one big one probably last year was I got this microphone. It sounds a lot better. And when I first started doing podcasts, I don't think audio mattered quite as much because there was fewer podcasts. I'll give you an example. Now there's over 2 million podcasts. And we were just over a million when I first started a podcast. You know, and I remember when I got it submitted, approved on Pandora, there was only 800 business podcasts on Pandora at that time. So pretty early on. That's pretty early, right? So my point is, you always want to evolve, right? So if something hasn't changed in a while, what do you need to evolve that is necessary to evolve? And for me, that was audio. You know, I needed better audio. Even though I've been preaching for a long time, oh, you don't need an expensive mic. And now some haters, you know, they'll go, well, you've been saying that for years. I'm like, I know, but things have changed. Go with the time and stop holding it against me, because I said that before. It was a different time. You know what else I used to say? You have to transcribe your podcast for SEO purposes. I used to say that all the time. And it's not wrong to do it, but I don't do it anymore because Google now automatically listens to them. Like, why do I need to still transcribe them? So stuff changes and it evolves, right? It has nothing to do with me changing my opinion. It has something to do with me adjusting to the market. So you want to have those moments. Oh, that's what just happened. Oh, very cool. Interesting, you know, all those different things. It constantly evolves.
Absolutely. And with everything constantly evolving, and with what you said in the beginning, the first question you were talking about, how much is going on with, we're bombarded with content and messages. How do you stay focused? How do you possibly keep the motivation high and the focus, laser focus, so you can do all the things that you do and get named to all those lists?
Well, I'm laughing a little bit because I got just to tell you my setup here. So I got a laptop on the windowsill. That's the second camera. I got the camera I'm looking at. I got a big monitor over here on my left. I got a laptop right here. I got my iPhone, which actually is on airplane mode. I got my iPad Pro over here, which is on airplane mode as well, but it's still ringing at me for some reason. So... good question. Like, it is actually Slack is, however, paused for notifications. it is actually hard to stay focused, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out, how do you get work done? How do you do it? How do you buckle down? What's the workflow? And how do you work? So for example, I know everybody will say people can't multitask, and I get it. They can't. It does take time to go back and forth, but I have an extremely short attention span. So if you want me to like literally work on this one thing with one window, it's probably not going to get done any faster than me just having open 88 windows, even if I ignore most. But you have to kind of figure out where are your priorities. And I'll give you an example. A lot of people are on the Clubhouse fad right now, you know, yes. And 13 million people have gotten invites. So it's not that, not that rare to get an invite. I'm ignoring it. I'm focusing on Amazon Live for now. I'm focusing on other things, you know, because they're currently working. Now, am I going to go on Amazon, on Clubhouse down the road? Maybe. But now Twitter Spaces is the same thing. I don't know. Maybe I should do that. So you do have to focus maybe the channels and also how you integrate them. I'll give you one more example. So you're going to push your podcast to, let's say, 20 channels. You pushing it to 20 channels versus one channel, it's literally the same amount of work, right? Because you push it one time. Same with your live stream. If you push it to one or five, or in Restream, you can do 30. Like, why would I do that? If I could push my live stream to Clubhouse through Restream, I'd do it in a heartbeat, even if nobody pays attention.
Because you can.
Because it's no more work. It's the same amount of work, you know? Yes.
Now, I have to ask a quick question. Do you have a team behind you, or do you do most of this yourself? Because you just mentioned it's the same if you go to one channel versus, let's say, 20 channels, it's pushing a button. So how much is you versus resources and a team helping you? Just so everybody knows.
Yeah. So my show, I do everything, right? So we're going to go live in a little bit here. And I do everything from pushing the buttons to run the intros, to run a video, to do different things. And that is actually pretty stressful because you have to listen, and then you also have to think about what you're going to say, and then you have to push all the buttons, and then you have to make sure you have the lower third and all that stuff. So that is a lot of work. On the Vox Pop Me show, Real Talk, the Customer Insights show, I'm the producer, right? So I do all the back end work, and then the host just basically comes on and, you know, does her thing, interviews the guests. So a lot easier for her than to have to push all the buttons from what I do. But for my own show, I do everything. But it's not that difficult, honestly, especially when you're not nitpicky. Now, I did tweet a picture, or maybe it's in my queue, and I tell people that I don't edit podcasts much. And I had a screenshot, and it was like, this was cut, this was cut, this was cut. So I did edit the show, actually, like a bunch of times. But sometimes I don't, you know? I edit it just for, like, technical glitches, or there was one time there was a technical glitch, and then all they said is, oh, interesting. Also, well, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I edit it, but if it's like, I don't edit it all the time. So, you know, depending on what your workflow is, you can do it pretty quickly. And just to show you how quickly it has changed, I had somebody, he said, can I record this myself? I'm like, yeah, sure. But I can just send you the video when we're done. And he says, oh, it's just going to take too long. I'm like, really? Because I'm going to send it to you literally like 2 minutes after we're done, because that is my workflow. Move from the iPad to my PC through Google Drive. I would literally share that same link with him, which takes 2 minutes, you know? So that was impossible 10 years ago, right?
To do absolutely. What a workflow. That's really good. And I think it's refreshing for people to hear that they can do it if they want to. Now, I did a live stream, and I was with a client, and he didn't want to push the buttons. It was his show. And I was there, even though I was moderating, I was pushing buttons and making things happen. So you kind of have to, some people have to build up to it, and that's great. I think the whole point is just getting into this mode of, let's go live. Let's share. Let's take that story to a new level. And on that note, Christoph, I would love it if you could give some parting advice on how people can take their authentic business storytelling to new levels and hopefully go live.
I mean, just stop thinking in old marketing ways, you know. Think about what's unique about you. And I think this is going to become more and more important, because why do people buy stuff, you know? Like, two companies create virtually the same thing, and then one has a widget that's a little bit nicer, it's not going to be the differentiator, quite frankly. You know, you need to have that story certainly tied around your services and your product and all those things, but you have to stand out. And that's really, I think, what authentic storytelling and especially live streaming is about. How do you stand out in front of your audiences? I'll give you a quick example. I think it's Hirewell, which is, I think, a recruiting firm. And they do a live stream, and it's really just three people on the show, and they just have a chat. And then they say, hey, yeah, I got this opening. And, you know, but it's not like they're not just pushing their openings. They're having a chat, you know, and sometimes they talk about, oh, look, there's my cat. There's that, you know, whatever. So be real, be a person. And I think that some of that has probably become a little bit easier with everybody or many people working at home during COVID. But start sharing better stories. And usually that means that they have to come a little bit more from the heart than some of the marketing gobbledygook that we're putting out there.
Absolutely. Well, last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you, your work, and of course your book, Going Live?
Super easy to find. Of course, the book is on Amazon, and it is, I'm super proud to say, it's in Kindle paperback, which all my books have been, but now it's also in hardcover, which is the first one publishing that way. And authenticstorytelling.net is my blog if you want to check that out. Lots of tips on there as well.
Great. Christoph, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your journey, and all of the advice around going live. I hope everybody picks up a copy of your book. So thank you.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you to all of you for tuning in today. Please keep the conversations going and the feedback coming. You know where to find me. I'm at Dee Breckenridge on Twitter, and connect with me on LinkedIn. You can even email me if you have a comment or something you want to share, Deirdre@pureperformance.com/2ms.com. Okay, everyone, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.